स्वयं प्रभाव श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गौरवानंद जी जय श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण प्रभु गोविंद श्याम अनुराधा हरि श्री गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नर्मदा धाम की जय राम जी मनोज तुलसी भक्त देवी की जय समाप्त को की बाईस प्रभु की जय समाधा का भक्त रंज की जय प्रगनंद जी ऑल ग्लास से समद भव रे ऑल ग्लास से समद भव रे ऑल ग्लास से ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
विष्णुनाय कृष्ण भक्तवृन्दस्वामिनाम्नाय नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवगौरवाणी प्रचारणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौड़वाकर वृंद
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम fire for, nor does he desire any other gain.
When Dhruva Maharaj became perfect, right, there, as he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, he was offered any kind of benediction he wanted. However, Dhruva replied that he did not want anything, for he was perfectly satisfied with the benediction of seeing the Lord. Except for the service of the Supreme Lord, whatever he wants, no illusion, mind. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Sarupai Krishna Chitas, every living entity is an eternal servant of the Lord. Therefore, when one engaged in the service of the Lord, he realizes the highest dimension of life. A faithful servant can fulfill any desire by the grace of the Master. And one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord has nothing to aspire for separately. All his desires are fulfilled simply by engaging constantly in the Lord's loving service. Lord Shiva shows us that any devotee can be successful simply by chanting the prayers which he has recited. A devotee who rises early in the morning with folded hands, chants these prayers sung by Lord Shiva, and gives facility to others to hear them, certainly becomes free from all bondage of good activities. Prayer for material liberation is becoming free from the results of good activities, as stated in Shrimad Bhagavata Mukti Hedvanyata Rupam. Mukti means giving up all other activities and being situated in one's constitutional position. In this condition state, we are engaged in one fruitive activity after another. Karma Bandhana means the bonds of fruitive activity. As long as one's mind is absorbed in fruitive activities, he has to manufacture plans for happiness. The Bhakti Yoga process is different. Bhakti Yoga means acting according to the order of the Supreme Authority. When we act under the direction of the Supreme Authority, we do not become entangled by fruitive results. For instance, Arjuna fought because the Supreme Personality of God wanted him to. Therefore, he was not responsible for the outcome of the fighting. As far as devotional service is concerned, even hearing and chanting is as good as acting with our body, mind, and senses. Actually, hearing and chanting are also activities of the senses. When the senses are utilized for one's own sense gratification, they entangle one in karma. When they're used for the satisfaction of the Lord, they establish one in bhakti. My dear sons of the king, the prayers I have recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just the result. I advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful, and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail. Therefore, if we persistently engage in devotional service, certainly all our desires will be fulfilled in due course of time. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Purport, the 4th canto, 24th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Chanting the Song, sung by Lord Shiva. The Supreme Personality of God is the dearmost object of all special benediction. A human being who sings the song, sung by me, can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee being fixed in the Lord's devotional service can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord. A devotee who rises early in the morning with folded hands chants these prayers sung by Lord Shiva and gives himself to others to hear them certainly becomes free from all bondage to each good activities. My dear sons of the king, the prayers I recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of God as the Super Soul. I advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful and will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail. So here again, the promise of results is given, or the follow sruti from chanting these prayers. And of course, the prayers are part of bhakti or devotional service. So, Shreya Song, or all auspiciousness, is obtainable from the Supreme Lord. So whatever you want, yaya ichati, can be attained from the Supreme Lord by pleasing him. And we please him by doing devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. And also chanting these prayers. So one can get material things, which are a type of shreyas for some people. But of course, we also know these things are temporary. So therefore, you can also get something higher than that. So something permanent is better. Therefore, we have liberation. So therefore, here Shiva says that one can get liberation from karma, the bondage of karma,
5, chanting those prayers. So that, of course, is higher resolve, that it's permanent and it's beyond all bondage of the material world. But, of course, higher than that is to achieve service to the Supreme Lord. This is the highest benediction of all. So bhakti can give all of these things. So in the nectar devotion, in the very beginning, Prabhu Goswami says that there are six characteristics of bhakti. One is subhada, the second characteristic. So subha, of course, means auspiciousness. So the bhakti will produce auspiciousness for the devotee. Now, what is auspiciousness? So therefore, he says, one definition of auspiciousness is material things. So normally people want auspiciousness in the material world, so they get material benefits, prosperity, long life, good health, etc. But of course, this is not really the aspiration of the devotee, and generally they reject these things. Another type of auspiciousness is liberation. The devotee also rejects this because it is unfavorable for bhakti. And of course, the third auspiciousness is, of course, service to the Lord or prema. So that is what the devotee accepts. So subhada gives auspiciousness of material things, auspiciousness of liberation, auspiciousness of bhakti, or happiness derived from bhakti. Of course, in the beginning stages, bhakti does not give prema, but at least it gives spiritual happiness, some sort of, let's say, an abhas of prema is in the beginning stages of bhakti. So, happiness from bhakti is produced at the beginning stages. This turns into prema later on, or ananda. So, in other words, bhakti can give all three things, but the devotees generally are very wary of the first two. So that is what Bilba Mongal says. He describes how the two servants of Bhakti Devi are Mukti and Bhakti, and they are begging to give service to Bhakti Devi. The devotee in general is very wary of these, and he does not want to accept their pleas for service. He does not want to accept material things because they can cause maya, and he does not want to accept liberation because this is unfavorable for bhakti also. So the devotee therefore avoids getting benedictions from bhakti and mukti, who are like servants, and they're saying, please, please engage us, and then the devotee has to say, no, I don't want this. So, everything is available through bhakti, and for people with mixed devotion, of course, they will go for these other things. So the karma misra bhakta will definitely want and accept the material benedictions, and again, the sri bhakta will have this idea of liberation also. But one practicing sudha bhakti will reject these things, and he will simply aspire for service to the Lord. So therefore it is said that without service to the Lord, the devotee will also reject salokya, sarsti, samipya, and sarupya. Even these things he will reject. And sayuja he does not accept at all. However, things which are favorable for bhakti may be accepted. So salokya, sarsti, samipya, etc. may be acceptable because it is favorable for our service. So a spiritual body is favorable for service because we can have eternal service in that body, whereas with the material body we can't. So therefore, in that sense, we will accept the spiritual body, or sarupya. So the devotee can accept these other things as favorable to his own bhakti. And in the material world, if he has a material body, and he may also get material things. So even these things he may also use for the service of the Lord. So in this case, of course, the Prachetas are supposed to rule the kingdom, so they will need certain facilities. So that is why Lord Shiva says at the end of the prayer that all you chant this prayer and all facilities in the material world will also be provided for you. Of course, the devotee does not take these things in an unfavorable way, nor does he avoid them completely. He can use them for the purpose of bhakti. So this is called yukta vairagya, to utilize material things for the service of the Lord. So that is exactly what these devotees in the material world do, such as the Manus and their progeny, their offspring, to create the dynasty of kings in the material world. They utilize what is in the material world, but they don't become attached to it. So we see the example of Priyavrata. He gave up everything after he ruled the kingdom, and he went off to the forest. Or Bharat, Rishabade, they went off to the forest. They renounced things after they had done their duties as kings. So they were not, they accepted the wealth and material benedictions, but at the same time, they were not attached to it. They did not allow it to interfere with their service. So it was acceptable for them. Other devotees, of course, will find these things unfavorable, and therefore they reject them completely. So we'll have some devotees who are completely renounced, and those who are living in the material world and utilize things for service of the Lord. So neither is superior to the other in one sense, because they're both doing devotional service. Of course, there may be dangers on both sides. The one who is in the material world using objects may become attached to material objects. And the one who's renounced everything also, of course, he's less likely to because of renunciation, but even so, he may become attracted to material things again in the material world. So either way, there may be some danger as far as if he's a sadhaka, who's doing sadhana only. So, the principle, of course, is the main element is the devotional service. And in pursuit of that, the devotee accepts what is favorable or anukulya and rejects what is pratikulya. And at certain stages, something may be favorable, another stage it may be unfavorable. Maybe unfavorable at one stage, maybe favorable at a later stage. So, therefore, the devotee has to be a good judge and see what is acceptable or what is unacceptable for his service of the Lord. It is also said that in general, with the development of bhakti, following after bhakti, there will be accumulation of wealth and followers and things like that, and naturally follow bhakti. So the devotee has to be careful that these things do not become weeds in his devotional service. And of course, additionally, we see that the Lord also gives benedictions. And of course, if you have mixed bhakti, then he will give those things, as he did in the case of Dhruva. And even if they don't want the things, the Lord is inclined to give things to the devotees. Therefore, bhakti is the main element, and all these things may or may not be favorable according to certain circumstances. And the devotee has to judge what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. Well, the devotee generally avoids the material happiness and the liberation. And that the sukha manifests automatically as a result of his bhakti, spiritual happiness.
Sometimes it's difficult to know whether it's spiritual happiness or material happiness.
Well, spiritual happiness is involved with enjoyment of material objects.
No, you know, it has to use material objects for serving the Lord.
Yeah.
It's
he doesn't have to.
We have to do puja, you have to have it present.
You can do manasa puja, as in Raghunuga, generally everything is meditation. Yeah, but it's not a gross material object.
No, devotee are not after the liberation, but liberation is already included in bhakti.
Yeah, one is free from the bondage of karma through bhakti.
Why don't you choose pure devotional service? Is it just because of the knowledge? Pure devotional service over the other people?
Why a person would choose? Probably because of one, association with those who have pure bhakti rather than impure bhakti. So that would influence him. That's probably the main factor of all. Another, of course, is previous lifetimes of bhakti and experiences where he is not inclined to material enjoyment, etc.
Then some may be inclined for pure devotional service, and if they are not, then liberation. If they are not, then material happiness, at least removal of their distress.
Well, yeah, the mixed bhakti is there. They have karma misra bhakti or jnana misra bhakti. That's better than nothing, and it's better than jnana and karma, etc. So, in that sense, fine. Let them progress, and hopefully by association they will give up those desires.
But mixed bhakti will not give them back to God.
By mixed bhakti alone, no. They have to come to Sudha bhakti. They can go in one sense with mixed bhakti, because they can ultimately go to the spiritual world, but the relationship is very weak. Shantarasa.
But in the spiritual world they cannot have mixed bhakti.
Well, when they go to the spiritual world, yes, they give it up, but they attain a weak relationship with the Lord as a result, because of their sadhana of mixed bhakti.
So basically,
one
should be
in Madhurya? No, it could be in any rasa.
But you mean weak association with Krishna? But you mean weak association with Krishna?
Oh, they may never see him. They just meditate on him, and they're happy with that. A weak relationship. Shantaras, they never serve him. They're just content with meditating and being peaceful.
But then they won't get the full satisfaction.
Well, that's what they wanted. So satisfying to them. They have Jnana misra bhakti. They wanted some peaceful situations. So they get it.
But then when they reach that deep relationship in the spiritual world, and by doing the bhakti, that they can build the relationship?
No, generally not. Their sadhana determines their result.
Because everything is pretty good.
Yeah.
Suppose,
in other words, in the spiritual world, you can't keep changing your position. That will be very unstable. Everybody keeps switching rasas, and it will be very confusing.
For example, if a devotee, he doesn't like to do service, and he say that he's in Shanta Bhava,
Well, if he simply wants to meditate or something and be peaceful, then maybe he is, yeah. Possibly.
Woman, the entire process of life seems to be based upon judgments and what we make upon ourselves and others. So, but it is said that the devotees are not supposed to make any judgments.
Who said that? You said that? No. Marimarikari has to judge. Yes, he who's inferior, who's a demon, who's neutral, who's a devotee, who's a superior devotee, who's an equal devotee, who's an inferior devotee. He must touch. Otherwise he cannot advance.
There seems to be a lot of difference between the benedictions given after the song of Rajshava and after Pritu Maharaj. There seems to be more material benediction in Pritu Maharaj velocity compared to Rajshava.
Well, there'll always be a mixture. Because they're trying to attract everybody. Like even in Krishna pastimes, you get free of snake bites or something from here. You go over to Leela, but that's very material, for instance. So you'll get all sorts of follow-certies from different things. It's only to attract materialists that a lot of these things are given.
So why are there seven rudras in the material world?
Huh?
No, rudras are expansion of Lord Shiva.
Yeah. Oh, they're in charge of different things in the material world. They pervade in different aspects. Of course, ultimately they come from Ahankara. Shiva's in charge of Ahankara in the material world. Then he's in charge of different things like anger and fear and so many other things. He has expansions to take care of those things. Well, the each Purana gives faith in that particular deity. But then, of course, in the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni condemns that.
The Bhagavatam is mostly led by devotees of Krishna. Shiva devotees may not believe.
Well, he attracts them by also offering different things like liberation or whatever. That's why he says you're free from karma bondage by reading, reciting the song of Lord Shiva. So he also tries to attract all the people.
How do devotees use these
programs? Huh?
How do devotees take advantage of
these? Oh, well, generally we don't use these things. We just chant about Krishna, that's all.
The big devotee gets attacked and he keeps reading this again and again.
Huh?
The big devotee.
Yeah, but other people who may have lesser bhakti or may be attracted to these things. The devotee's energy is channeled by Krishna.
These palasutis can be used in preaching.
Okay, to somewhat. Yeah, but of course we also want to teach pure bhakti also.
Hmm? Yeah, Lord Shiva is encouraging to worship Vishnu, but yeah, he himself is chanting Rama.
Well, at different times he chants different things. Of course, Vishnu, Rama, they're all the same in one sense as well.
I think he chants Krishna in the world.
Huh? Who, Shiva? Chants his own name?
Shankarshan.
Oh, Shankarshan. Yeah, he also chants Shankarshan.
But Lord Shiva
is
the devotee of Vishnu, but the actual name is devotees become devotees of Krishna, but they're not, are they?
Well, yeah, because they're following other scriptures. That, the Shaiva scriptures, which advocate Shiva as supreme.
Again, Sri Prabhupada says in some Bhagavad Gita that we should not disturb the people in the standard where they are. So, in certain one case, when we see that preaching, we are trying to change them from their, or elevate them from their level.
Oh, the in the Bhagavad Gita, yes, Krishna says that don't disturb the minds of the persons who in karma yoga, tell them to do jnana yoga when they're not qualified. So if they're not qualified for something, you can't force them into something else. If they are qualified or they can develop a qualification, fine. But it's also said that this does not apply to bhakti. We can encourage everybody to do bhakti somehow or other.
Jantra-sishu-gumat-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-bhāgavad-b